This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April 19th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend a night. And yes, it never passes by me, April 19th. And of course, historically, it's interesting. I was just seeing some things on this day in history. And the one thing I didn't see was the Battle of Lexington and Concord, which started the Revolutionary War. And that absolutely was April 19th. So I figure we can start with that one. And interestingly, that started the Revolutionary War. It didn't end it. And it absolutely did start it. But even though it was insignificant in many ways, and the reality was it was very significant in terms of the British thought they would come in and just quell everything, and that would be the end of it. And of course, it was only the beginning. So you have that. But in more recent times, well, actually, before I get to that, 1943 in Poland, that was the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And again, this was a situation where the Germans thought that they could go into Warsaw on April 19th, 1943, to stop what had been an uprising that actually started in January. And they figured, well, this is a slam dunk, and they were forced to retreat. Now, unfortunately, as history will tell us, that it was not not a victory that lasted long for the occupants of the Warsaw Ghetto, because 10 days later, on the 29th, the Germans came back and basically annihilated them. But nonetheless, on the eve of Passover, April 19th, 1943, the SS auxiliary forces and the police entered the ghetto, just sure that they were going to be able to quell the whole thing, and the Jewish insurgents made it impossible, and they were absolutely forced to halt and withdraw, which they did. So that was historically, but I think closest to home, and in terms of in our modern days, 1993 in Waco, and that to me is still inexplicable to this day, exactly why we did what we did at the Branch Davidian compound. And I don't think anybody's ever been able to successfully answer to that that mess all the way around. Unfortunately, 2 years later, and some will say directly because of, and I would tend to probably be in that camp, we had Oklahoma City. And again, so many stories there that are still untold. Oh, I forgot one. 61, the Bay of Pigs invasion. And that actually was going on April 19th, but it started on the 17th. And that was a mess for us all the way around. But with all that, and you know, there were good things, obviously, on April 19th, as you might imagine. Things like Shirley Temple, I think, made her film debut in 1934. I guess on a humorous note today, but not in 1927, Mae West was censored for obscene stage performances. Fined $500 for that. Yeah, and on and on we go. And like I say, probably any day you'll be able to see tons of interesting things on this day in history. But there's something about April 19th that I always awaken uneasy. and more so, as I say, in the last 30 years. That's for sure. You know, it was 30 years ago today, 1993, that the Waco cult raid culminated. Yeah, just alarming. And of course, for tonight we have the new moon, and probably almost exactly an hour from now, 11:13 p.m. tonight Central Time. Make it 11:12 because there are some people who disagree with that. But the new moon. So of course, if you haven't done your Law of Abundance checks yet, and it's not real money, don't worry, you're not at any cash. This is the time to do it. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, of course, go to MaryAnnWinkowski.com. And I heard from Mary Ann today, and no, I don't have a date for when she will be on. We're trading phone messages still, and lots going on in her world, too. But she will be back on, that's for sure. Now, all that said, it wasn't today. It was on the 17th, 2 days ago, that April Stevens died. Yeah, Nino Tempo and April Stevens. Nino was her younger brother, and of course, Deep Purple, known probably for that more than anything else. And she's 94 years old, died in Phoenix just a week and a half before her 94th birthday. Her brother continues to be with us, 88. He turned in January. So rest in peace, April Stevens. And of course, we'll have to play something there. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Let's go back to 1961 and that Bay of Pigs. And oh man, I remember that. Chuck in Rockford, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you again.
Yes. Glad you called.
Yeah. I guess probably, I don't know if you have the same audience all the time, but I had met you when you were working here in Rockford with WROK.
30 years ago right
and,
now.
A guy that I graduated from high school with was listed as being killed in the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Yeah.
And then sometime later, they traded him for either a spy or a tractor.
Funny. So he was still with us.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Red Cross was even allowed to, you know, they just listed everybody as dead, you know, in that invasion.
Oh,
but
what a mess.
I went to a class reunion, and at the class reunion, they said he had perished in the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah.
And that was in 63. And then I think it might have been at the next class reunion, there he was with a big smile on his face.
and probably a lot of stories. So did you learn anything about it you didn't know?
Well, I think he was in the CIA.
Well, yeah.
And I think he was sworn to secrecy on a lot of things.
Oh. Well,
because his address was Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it was interesting, of course, no doubt that that was the CIA behind that and training and recruiting Cubans, obviously, initially. But it was such a screw-up all the way around. So, you know, some said it was doomed to fail before the first shot was fired. And, of course, Kennedy canceled at the last minute the airstrikes. And that would have done the airstrike. But that was, I guess, Kennedy thought he didn't want to appear to be behind the invasion and that it would be international reputation damage. But they were too far in to decide that then. So there you have it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was just a whole lot of confusion, and I don't know. There's a lot of things behind the scenes here with the Cubans situation that we'll probably never know about.
Oh, of course. Of course. But I'll tell you what, April 19th is a holiday in Cuba. Every year they celebrate the defeat because it was the afternoon of April 19th that they had fully defeated the troops that landed on April 17th. And so, you know, you really got to wonder, you know, I understand what Kennedy did, but why then? How was he not in the loop earlier?
Yeah, there was, well, there was not a lot of communication, I think, you know, when, well, there's another stolen election, too, you know.
let's not even go there.
I know you don't like to talk politics.
And we see how that ended. But, and I realized that it was in the Eisenhower administration that this plan was hatched, that they were going to find Cuban exiles who weren't happy with the election, as you mentioned, and everything else, and they were going to train them. And, you know, the deal is that there were going to be, you know, all these aircraft involved and all that. Well, here comes Kennedy, and he agrees he's going to continue with the plan, but he is not going to do the full Monty, if you will. And it was, you know, this was just a mess.
Yeah, just the beginning of a real big mess, I think, you know. Because...
Yeah.
I don't know. You just, the whole world would have turned out a lot different if that thing had been handled better.
Yeah, you're probably right. I wouldn't doubt it for a moment. But isn't it interesting? Maybe it's something about April 19th. But just like I say, the thing about Waco was how badly that was handled.
There's still a cloud around all of that.
Of course.
I don't know. I guess, you know, that's caused a lot of the, people not to trust the government.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. So here we are. It was a good day, but like I say, every time April 19th rolls around every year, I kind of hold my breath and say, what now? But near as I can tell, it was a relatively, comparatively peaceful day.
Yeah, you know, you had that one guest on that had been in prison there in Cuba.
Yes.
And I had no idea that... they had bombs set so that if anybody came to free them, you know, the rescuers and the prisoner would be no longer here.
Right. Right. And of course, for these 1,400 people who were recruited, you know, they were facing public trial for treason. I mean, it really was the worst possible situation for them. So, you know, there you have it. Traitors in Cuba,
like
heroes in Miami.
Used to hijack planes, you know, and then take them to Cuba.
I know.
And that was their worst nightmare.
Yes. Yeah, good point. All right. Well, so here we are. I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you're still with us on April 19th.
Well, glad to be here, and I really enjoyed when you get on some of these topics. Oh, you know, we had mentioned, or you had looked up some stuff on the fan dancer.
Mae West? No.
No.
I'm kidding.
God. At the moment, I got one of the senior moments.
Are you talking about Sally Rand?
Sally Rand.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw some stuff on public television.
Yeah.
Where she had, prior to her developing the fan dance, she had been working in silent films.
Yes.
And didn't make it into the talkies.
Right. Right. Many people.
It must have been. Some burlesque stuff that she was doing.
Yeah,
I didn't see any more on that, but I wonder if there's any of the films that she was in that would still be available for viewing.
Possibly. You know, she started out, she was with Ringling Brothers. She was an acrobat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, like you say, The Silence. And unfortunately, many, many, many people who were big in silent films did not make that transition to the talkies. But she really came up with that fan dance when sound films came in. And of course, the most probably the biggest appearance was that Chicago World's Fair in 1933.
Yeah, well, I'd seen her perform, you know, in Rockford here.
Yeah,
and I was at a senior breakfast panel, and her name had come up, you know, and some people there had seen her perform in the past. But there was a lot of difference between that silent picture and a fan dance, so.
Yeah, but
she was really doing some moves.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, if you keep in mind that this little lady started out at Ringling Brothers, it's no wonder she was destined to do something that was going to be flamboyant, and boy, she did.
Yeah, do you happen to recall? Well, she was still performing in her 70s, wasn't she?
Yeah. She died.
How long she lived?
Yeah, she died in 79 in a suburb of L.A. So she was she was around. She was married to like four different guys, and
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, she had an interesting. I bet you. I may be wrong, but I bet you that What's My Line episode that she was on is probably on YouTube. And so,
I'll have to see if I can find that.
Yeah, it was Robert Q. Lewis who identified her. So, and she was later on to tell the truth. So you can go ahead and see those. She's probably around, but she was doing her fan dance into the 1970s. So that was within a decade.
Yeah, I saw her at the Stardust here in Rockford.
Wow.
And I guess she probably performed at Lakeview and a few other places.
Well, I'll tell you, it was probably the early 70s, but she performed at the Mitchell Brothers Club. And, man, if you don't know about the Mitchell Brothers, then you don't know your porn history. But, I mean, these derelicts were responsible for probably more Super 8s than any, and later, too, you know, big screen stuff as well. At the time when she was interviewed, she said, well, I haven't been out of work since the day I took my pants off. So.
Well, the 33 World's Fair, I think,
kind of
helped her along, because she was quite one of the number one, I guess, performers at that. You know, at least she gained some fame.
You know, it was Sammy Davis Jr. who paid for her funeral expenses.
Yeah, I do recall that.
She was horribly in debt. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, something that was unknown about him, at least up until I was informed of that, kind of. Really, I think he was probably a lot better, a nicer person than he was given credit for being.
Well, you have pretty much ended the half hour. We will talk to you soon, Chuck.
Well, you take care.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. So, hadn't thought about her in a while. Sally Rand. All right. We'll get to Eduardo in Midway. There's room for you. 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here on WGN Radio.
Sweet lover, I'm confessing that I love you. Tell me, do you love me too? I'm confessing that I need you, honest I do. Every single moment in your eyes I read some strange things, but your lips deny they're true. Will your answer really chase me while making me blue, making me blue? I'm afraid someday you'll leave me, saying can we still be friends? You know you'll bring me all in life on you depends. guessing that you love me. Dreaming dreams of you and that you.
I'm confessing that I love you. Dreaming dreams of you in vain. I'm confessing that I love you. Over again.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's April Stevens, all right. Yes, along with Nino Tempo, her younger brother. And their big hit the previous year in 1963, Deep Purple, spurred them doing pop standards back-to-back. That was a flip side, and it got all the way to number 99 with an anchor. But I figured everybody who was going to do Obits probably would be playing Deep Purple, so I couldn't do that. All right, so rest in peace, April Stevens. So, yeah, almost 94. So we've got Eduardo in Midway. So, Eduardo, what's happening tonight?
Well, a lot has happened since we last talked.
Okay.
I had an open house. I got multiple offers.
Yeah.
The lower bid got mad. But remember, it was like 310.
Yes.
So we accepted 305 because okay. The other one was 290.
Okay.
That's the one I got all hot and bothered.
But 305, all right. It's a nice profit.
Yeah. We had the, I got my attorney picked out. I got the estimate for the move.
Okay.
I mean, they gave like two quotes. So they gave direct delivery $6,000, and then regular delivery was like $1,000 less, $5,000.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So now, they gave those two.
Well, now wait a minute.
Quotes.
When they're saying direct delivery, that means no offloading, I guess. What is regular delivery? Does that mean they may offload the stuff en route?
Well, you know, I was looking at the quotes. The only thing I made out was the, like, the date. I noticed the dates.
Yeah, well.
There was a wide gap on the dates.
All right, here's
like,
the
within
deal.
A couple of days?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was direct, and then the other one had, like, a 10-day window.
Well, here's what you don't want to have happen, period. You want to make sure there is no offloading. And I assume you're not going to take up a whole semi, so you're a partial load. And how that's handled can be done in a variety of ways, but the absolute worst is when somebody will pick it up, then they'll take it to a warehouse, and then somebody else will take it either the rest of the way or part of the way. In other words, that's where you wind up in a situation where if you're going to have damage or loss, you're more likely to have it then. What's important to you is you want to know that when that stuff goes on that truck, it does not move one inch until it is offloaded at the destination, at your domain, period. And I would absolutely pay for that as long as that's guaranteed. No offloading. Don't try to save money on that. Now, the other thing, of course, is days are gone that the public, that these were a highly regulated situation for years. The ICC, because of all sorts of horrible things that happened in the 50s, the ICC controlled the moving industry within an inch of its life. Well, it's not that way anymore. So you can see all sorts of problems. The biggest thing you can do for yourself is make sure there's no offloading. And also, if it's a guaranteed binding estimate, make sure it's a company you know who will live up to that, because the last thing you want is for them to get to the destination and say, we're not unloading until you give us another couple grand.
Right.
So guaranteed binding and no offloading. Those are the things.
Yeah, I mean, they started, the guy that came out today started going into the, his good standing with the BBB.
I don't care about that.
They also talked about insurance in case something gets damaged.
All right. Do you have?
So they went into that.
Do you have household insurance right now?
Yes.
All right. It should cover it. Call your agent, because for the most part, that will be covered that way. Buying the additional insurance may not be a good deal. But you'll find out. You'll call your agent to find that out. You know, I mean, I don't know what you're moving and the value of it or all that. Remember, if you're moving collectibles, well, there's going to be a fight about what that's worth. So you have to know that, you know, even with insurance, what's the value of it? Because if you have a major claim, they're going to try to, you know, minimize it as much as possible.
Yeah, I don't have anything valuable, I mean, that I can think of.
Then don't worry about it.
Right now, I'm in the...
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, right now, in the basement, I'm in the basement right now, and there's boxes packed up. I mean, we've gotten a head start on... We're not waiting until the last minute to start packing.
That's great.
We took the initiative and packed. Yeah.
And that's great. Now, remember, packing yourself, which I'm a big fan of, but if the box itself is not damaged, if the contents are, even if you have insurance, they're not liable.
Right.
So, you know, again, that extra insurance may not play to your favor. But like I say, binding guaranteed estimate and no offloading.
Binding guaranteed estimate, yeah.
And no offloading. You want that in writing.
Yeah.
You know, and none of this stuff, well, we'll pick it up and put it in the warehouse. Oh, no, you won't.
Yeah, they didn't... I mean, the guy that came out today, he didn't say anything about that.
Nah, so. Exactly. Well, but they're not going to volunteer it.
See.
So, I'm just...
Oh, here we go. I'm actually looking at the email. This is like one sentence. I can read this. So, hello, Mr. Jamie. Attached, you'll find the binding estimate for direct delivery and regular delivery move for your upcoming move to Florida.
Right.
That's the first sentence.
Well, firstly, we don't know what those terms mean by their definition. So what you need to do, I would assume this regular delivery is something you don't want anything to do with. But even with direct delivery, you want it in writing that there is no offloading.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could consider that direct anyway.
Yeah, they got on their binding estimate / order for service. I'm looking at the thing they sent me, the attachment. Yeah.
Right. Well, you want them to spell it out and sign it when I'm talking about the offloading. So, because that's where you get your loss. That's where the package doesn't show up, and you don't know it right away. Because the other thing is, yes, they number every box, and then they check them off when you get there. But believe me, if you've got enough boxes, you're not going to keep track of it. And it'll be 2 years before you realize, oh, my God, in my case, I don't have my T's and U's on my 45s. So, yeah.
Okay, here we go. They got an arrow pointing at the amount. This is next to it. Estimated cost of materials packing and unpacking.
Well, you're not having them pack or unpack, are you?
No.
All right. Then there's no...
Well, they're not packing because we're doing that.
Right. So, there may be something you want them to pack. I mean, I don't know that you're going to do your mattresses yourself. You can. But you have to...
I mean, there's two beds.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have to decide. Are you going to pack your mattresses? Or do you even care?
Well, anything like that, and like there's a refrigerator down in the basement we're going to take.
Yeah.
But we're not taking anything like a dryer or gas range.
Well, right. Of course you're not doing
dryer,
that.
Yeah. No, the only thing as far as appliances is the refrigerator down here in the basement. That's the only thing we're taking.
I'm telling you, I've lived in 32 cities, so I've made a lot of moves, and the things I'm telling
you about
your problem would be in the offloading, if you have one.
Okay.
So you don't want that, and you know that all the it's fine. We're just going to pick it up and put it in our warehouse, and then it'll go right on the truck right to your house. No, you're not. It's going on the truck, and it's staying on the truck, and it's not moving 3 inches on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know that
until it gets to its destination.
That's right. And no, you can't shift it from the front to the back. It is locked into where you put it on that truck. I wouldn't sign anything unless they were willing to put that in writing.
Let me ask you, because I got a car.
Don't ship it. I mean, don't have a mover.
I was referring to the fact that why don't you just like tell them and have them, you just go with them.
No, well, it doesn't work like that. You're not going to drive those hours. And remember, they're also under all sorts of mandates in terms of when they do hours of service and everything else. So no, you're not going to be able to trail the truck. It's a nice thought, but no. Plus, it is possible that that truck is going to go to seven other places before it unloads you. And that's fine, providing they don't move your things within an inch of the where they put them.
Sure.
You know, because you're a split load. I don't know how big this is going to be, but you're a fraction of a semi. And so there's going to be other deliveries as well. Now, they may come first. That's fine. You don't care about that, providing they do not move your goods on the truck.
Okay.
Where they place them is where they stay.
Yeah. Well, I got to drop a deposit, so I can always tomorrow. There's actually an office like 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah, well,
got multiple offices.
Yeah.
I can mention that to them tomorrow.
Well, I wouldn't do it unless, and no matter what they told you, I wouldn't do it unless they put it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Verbal assurances mean nothing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my advice. Good luck on the move.
Yeah. Yeah, good heads up. Yeah, I'm going to go, I'm going to do a fly into Florida on Saturday, check out some properties, and then hopefully I'll find something to my liking.
Yeah.
And throw a bid, and you know, sometime in May, who knows?
That could be exciting
Eduardo
times.
From Florida.
That's right. And I hope you will keep calling. Very exciting times.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, things are moving along. So far so good. So
good.
Thank you for the tip on these movers thing.
Oh, sure.
You know, I haven't done an interstate thing. I've done a in-city move, but not an interstate.
Right, yeah. No, this is a whole different ballgame. And like I say, it's no longer regulated the way it was. So it is the old Wild West again. So, yeah, keep me posted.
Yeah. Thank you for the heads up. Yeah.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, we'll
you
talk
too.
Next week. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll get to Bob in Tennessee. We got Donald also. Donald is in Midway, and there's room for you too. But I know you're a radio lover if you listen to me, so you probably know all about the Sea Crane catalog. But if not, ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Bob Crane is, just like you and me, a total radio lover. And the only difference is when he saw how lousy reception was in the current radios, and I know you've complained about that, he did something about it. Every radio that he has designed and had built is just chock full of the best reception you're going to find on the market today. Now, the CC Radio 3 is the almost everything radio with the addition of Bluetooth. Yeah, I'll tell you what, John keeps that one by his bedside. You've got an immense palette of radio shows and podcasts available from any smartphone or whatever, but it just sounds better, you see. And if you listen primarily to voice content, the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone. Audio quality for the spoken word sounds like the host is sitting right next to you. Separate bass and treble controls, you can adjust it to your perfect pitch, and you'll immerse yourself in audio clarity. There's great reception, AM and FM. Put this next to the standard radio, and you will see it'll just blow everything else out of the water. It's also got emergency band capabilities. Of course, NOAA weather and the alert, but also the 2-meter ham band. And when everything really blows up, the first responders are talking to each other on that, so you'll hear it first. Now, it's not day-to-day like the weather, but, yeah, man, real emergencies, that 2-meter ham band is a lot of fun. Runs on the included power cord, but if you want to use a set of batteries, 170 hours you will get. It's really terrific. Go to ccradio.com. Read all about it and all other great information about radio too. Or call them. Their customer service is second to none, and they're there 24 hours, 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. Or like I say, ccradio.com. That's my favorite. Now, of course, you want quicker shipping. You can do Amazon or REI or Bi-Mart or something like that. But for the real deal experience, ccradio.com or 800-522-8863. No matter how you buy it, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
He takes me to the places you and I used to go. He tells me over and over that he loves me so. He gives me love that I never got from you. He loves me too, his love is true. Why can't he be you? He never fails to call and tell me I'm on his mind, and I'm lucky to have such a guy. I hear it all the time, and he does all the things that you would never do.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and Patsy Cline, of course, Hank Cochran wrote that Why Can't He Be You, 1962 on Decca. And it was James, a promise last night while we were talking about a 800-832 links by the hour that he sends. Just great stories. He said, well, play Why Can't He Be You. And so, yeah, happy to do that. All right, so 888-876-5593. Bob in Tennessee, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm hanging in. That's all I can say about it. A couple of three things I wanted to mention to you tonight. Number one, I've got a couple of requests.
Okay.
First of all, you were talking about this song last week, and I think it's one of my favorite all-time feel-good songs, and that's The Reflections and Just Like Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah, it is a great feel. I agree. It's a great hour opener.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So if you could get that on, I would appreciate it. And another one is a record that charted by an American artist that charted down under, but never was very big up here, and that was Billy Crash Craddock and Boom Boom Baby.
Okay, right. All right, for you, I'll do it.
You don't like this song?
That's all right. I don't hate it, I guess. Happy to do it.
And number two, I don't know whether you've heard what happened with Top Shelf.
No, this doesn't sound good the way you're phrasing it. I have no clue what's happening.
Well, what happened was Tim got sick and tired of paying the confiscatory rates that Sound Exchange was charging.
I don't blame him.
So he shut down all the aggregators here in the U.S. and moved everything over to Mixcloud.
Okay,
and that happened about a little over 2 months ago. So to find Top Shelf, you've got to kind of hunt, go on the live platform, and well, you've got to kind of hunt for it.
It can't be hard to find. This is going to be interesting, Bob. Depending, because of course Tim is here. I understand that the servers may not be, but mm-hmm. he is, and of course he's serving, unless he's completely geo-fenced it out, he's serving American individuals online, like yourself or whoever.
Right.
So yeah. I'm very curious how, and of course he's small potatoes in the scheme of things, of course, but I'm mm-hmm. very curious how Sound Exchange will in fact react to this.
Well, I had that question too, and I asked Clark, and he couldn't answer that.
I don't think anybody.
Anyway,
I don't think anybody can.
That's what happened, and Clark is still on Top Shelf between the hours of 7 and 10 on Saturday nights. The same great show. So,
all right. So if I go to topshelfoldies.org, and I'm going to go there to listen to anything they might say, I'm seeing a website, so that's online, and this is going to be very interesting. I'm not sure that this, and I don't know if they want to make an example out of him. Again, it's not big potatoes, but if he gets away with that, you know, there's a lot of other people who are going to think of the same thing.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe Tim might be listening in.
Well,
he can call
absolutely. God, I wish him the best because, you know, one of the problems, well, actually, I'm running. Hang on a minute. Don't go away because I want to talk about this. And we're going to break for news and we'll pick it up right there. Next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, the audio quality of that is not great, but boy, I'll tell you, everything else about it, including the production value, is really nice. Yeah, just Reflections, Blue-Eyed Soul from Detroit, and that was Golden World, Ed Wingate's label that Berry Gordy later bought. But back in 1964, when the Reflections were recording, they were at 4039 Buena Vista Street. Yeah, all right, so... Right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and I was just looking up more about Mixcloud because this is such a gray area to me. And but before we get back to it, by the way, let me say that the new moon is coming up literally in seconds. I'd say right now, if you haven't written your prosperity check, make sure you do it. And if you don't know what it's about, well, I guess check it out next month. No, there's no money involved. They're not real checks. But anyhow, we will hopefully have Marianne Winkowski on soon to tell us more about it. And tonight I will tell you more about this particular new moon because an interesting one it is. But we're talking with Bob in Tennessee. And, you know, I went to look and I thought, well, let me just look at Mixcloud. And in the case of Top Shelf Oldies, I'm still saying, man, this is a gray area to me. I wonder. And I don't know. I wish Tim the best, and I think that he's one of the little guys who's caught because Congress passes the rates for Sound Exchange, and that's for collecting online streaming revenue. The reality is that the biggies all have their lawyers and their lobbyists and all this kind of stuff. And the independent business guy, the guy who, you know, maybe wants to play polkas because he loves polkas, he's not represented and he's not in a position to pay much money. But in this last go-round, the little guys just took it in the shorts. It was just horrible. And I can't believe this is what Congress ever intended. And I wish to heck there was somebody who would speak up, because the kind of records that Tim is going to play are, again, like the guy who wants all harmonic hats all the time or what have you. These are not records that any label is worried about for royalties. I mean, I would wager a guess that at least 10%, maybe more, of the music Tim plays, no one could find the people who owned the labels in the first place.
Right, and even the hits, too. I mean, you know, they're over, a lot of them are over 50 years old, and you know, aren't a lot of the rights hits gone.
The rights still exist, but the problem is that unless we can know for sure what label it was sold to and how the, you know, provenance of the ownership continued, you're not going to know. You know, if it was on Revelot, you know, who knows who got it now? The people who did get it deny it. They don't know they have it. So
who gets a flip, really?
Well, right. Or my favorite, Shamal number one, had one record. We've never found out who Shamal is. So, yeah.
You're right.
and I really think Congress would understand this, but the little guys don't have much clout in terms of a lobbying body or anything like that.
Right.
But I would hope that Tim would be interested enough in this to hopefully spearhead something so that at least it'll be in front of Congress next time, because it's just unconscionable.
Well, maybe he's listening tonight.
Well, maybe so. I hope he's well.
Maybe he can call in and, and give us a little guidance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe Clark is.
Yeah.
He listens quite a bit, so maybe he can call in and give us some guidance. Right.
I don't know when the next go-round is on Sound Exchange. You know, I think it may be a few years yet, but this is a good time to organize.
Absolutely. And something needs to be done.
Well, yes, but it won't be unless the little guys can somehow band together and get this known. Because I guarantee you that there's probably nobody sitting in Congress right now who's a fan of doo-wop the way that we are, for instance.
or rockabilly or whatever.
Exactly, where it means anything to them. And, you know, these laws are designed to protect Taylor Swift, and rightfully so, and other people who are currently making music. Absolutely. I'm not taking anything away from these people. It shouldn't be, quote unquote, free for all. But in the process, we shouldn't be denied to be able to hear the things we otherwise would never hear. That, you know, I always used to joke that the only way to get payola out of these people was to sue the estates. But the reality is that we couldn't find the estates.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
There are no estates. They owed money. You know, so I hope that that Tim will be working toward that. But I don't blame him a bit.
Yeah, I don't either. I need some quick advice.
Yes.
I'm looking to purchase a reel-to-reel tape deck.
Cool.
I know they're not making any new ones. Where would be a good place to go to get a really top flight reconditioned?
You're going to be doing this online, basically, so it can even be eBay. But the first thing to decide is what you want. Do you want it to be quarter track, which is what most of the stuff for home use was
quarter
in the
track,
60?
Yeah.
Or do you want it to be
Mackay?
Or do you want it to be
Reebok?
Well, why do you want it to be quarter track, by the way?
So, so I can play, pre-recorded tapes. Plus, I will be, recording my own. So,
right. But I mean, as far as recording your own, you could be recording on half track as well. But all right.
Right.
So quarter track, because you want the pre-made stuff from the 60s, and there was quite a few of it, quite a lot of it actually, amazingly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I would say the Pioneer 909 is a good machine.
Okay.
Don't discount Pioneer.
Okay.
You know, if you were saying you wanted half track, I'd probably steer you to Otari. But Akai, maybe.
I was looking at the Akai because it's a three-speed machine, and I wanted one that would accommodate the 10.5-inch reels.
Right. Well, when you say three speed, I hope the three speeds are 15, 7.5, and 3.75, not 7.5, 3.75, and 1 7/8.
Yeah, 15, 7.5, and 3.75.
And you're probably not, though, on a quarter track machine going to run into much 15.
Well, that's the reason I did like this Akai.
You know, but no, I mean in terms of the tapes, you won't get any pre-recorded tapes that are running at 15 on quarter track use. So, and you're probably not going to record on it yourself because that eats a lot of tape. You know, the expensive part of your proposition is finding tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's really going.
Well, Amazon sells it.
Well, yes, but not cheap.
No, you got that right.
So ask yourself if you really ever would use 15 IPS.
Probably not.
Yeah, so
once in a blue moon, but probably not.
All right, I'm not as worried about that, but there's so many. Some of the Tandberg things were nice, I would start looking on eBay.
Okay. I'm just afraid of eBay, being about being taken,
Well, remember, if you're paying for PayPal, you can get your money back.
Yeah.
And you can.
Okay.
You absolutely can. But, you know, you want to read the descriptions carefully and see whether they've been reconditioned or whether a lot of them it's just a deal where, hey, we know it turns on and we don't know anything else. Well, that
right.
probably won't work for you because you'll be dealing, you know, with having to do repairs, you know, where
can
you
make
are.
A suggestion?
Oh, John has a suggestion. What's your suggestion?
If you search on eBay, you can do it by location.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
See if you can do a pickup only.
Yeah, that's interesting. You can search on eBay by location. The biggest
okay.
expense you're going to get into this is shipping because they're heavy.
Right.
So do a location and find out if there's anything, you know, in the tri-state area that is
okay.
reasonable to you. So I wouldn't worry so much about manufacturer. Like I say, I kind of have a sweet spot for those Pioneers. I got a few of those. But I would absolutely want to know about condition and all that. Stay away from Wall and Sachs for
yeah,
the most
no
part.
Way.
Yeah, right. The one head. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there were things they did that were good, but this is not the not what you want. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, if you run into anything, feel free to send me a link. I'll look at it.
Cool. I sure will.
All right, good. Well, good
and I shall be talking to you next week probably, and y'all have a great week.
All right, you too. Thanks.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, good deal.
Bye.
So we'll pick it up there. We got Donald, we got Marianne, and hopefully we got you. And oh yeah, we got the new moon. Yeah, it happened just a few minutes ago. So what's that mean? Well, we'll tell you coming up on WGN Radio.
I'd be sending for you when I got down here in Florida. But when I called, you said I ought to come back home. I had the car packed up and ready to leave. Then I got stuck in the sand here in Longboat Key. And you should be glad you're still there in Tennessee. 'Cause I've been stranded for days, laying out on the beach. Got burned in the shade of a skinny palm tree. And yesterday a coconut daiquiri fell and bruised my knee. I'm surviving on lobster and key lime pie. Did you ever see a hurricane that had two eyes? Lord, it's just another miserable day here in paradise. You wouldn't like it here, the weather's too hot, and the people are much too nice. Oh, it's just another miserable day here in paradise.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and well, it wasn't Boom Boom Baby, but couldn't find that before Adam said, hey, you got about 20 seconds here. Yeah, okay, so thought about just another day and miserable day in paradise, but we will get Boom Boom Baby on for Bob, I promise. So 888-876-5593 takes us to Marianne in Chicago. What's happening tonight, Marianne?
Raleigh, I promise next song I ask for, I'll have the right name.
All right.
But you know what? I got a feeling you're going to hear back from Eduardo after he moves.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I've heard him on daytime radio calling in on some subjects.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I will.
So he's a real WGN family guy.
Yeah, no reason that he won't call from Florida. The call's free.
Yeah, exactly. I had a couple of visitors here today when I was sitting out on my dock.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was on the phone with one of my friends, and it's so funny because in the morning they were talking, in the afternoon they were talking about when you see a sign when a loved one passes away.
Yeah.
Like somebody saw a rainbow after they threw their ashes. And
right.
I'm sitting out here, and a mallard duck came and flew right over my head and landed on my dock.
Hmm.
I'm wondering who came to... I wish Marianne Winkowski was here. She could tell me who that was.
I don't know. Do you live near the water?
About a half a mile from a river.
A river. All right.
I mean, I've been here 5 years, and I've seen... I feed the sparrows and the robins.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they open my door, they come out here. The geese fly over. Crows.
Mm-hmm.
We hear the cardinals. I knew there were ducks in the area, but I've never had one come land on my deck all this time.
Yeah, well, now you have. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, I do have a request. It might be odd, and if you can't find it, I understand.
Okay.
But I remember growing up, every year my parents would put us in front of the TV to watch Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
So they're gone, but Somewhere Over the Rainbow is kind of special. But I really, really love it the Hawaiian way.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, if you don't want to, don't worry.
No, no, the reason I say that is just, that's one of those records that you can hear that all the time. It's, everybody hears it. It's kind of burned out.
I don't, because I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, well, yeah. All right. All right. See here, I thought you were going to ask me for a doo-wop version of it or something, but all right.
Okay, well, as you can hear, I'm under a direct flight path from O'Hare.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice.
What? They were diverting them earlier, but now I guess
well,
at least I was on the phone.
Welcome to the 110 people arriving shortly. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right.
No, they're leaving.
Oh, they're leaving?
Yeah, they're out of here.
Well, good
In
rims.
The morning, they come in. At night, they go out.
All right.
And I have, let's see, on my block, we have three flight paths, one at the end of the block, one over my head, and one at the other end of the block.
Okay, depending on which runway and which direction, of course, and how the wind is.
And then we have the ones, because I'm near the lake, the circle.
Okay. Very nice.
The best thing is, when you sit out here and it's quiet, I can hear the train whistle in the distance.
Oh, that's romantic.
To me, it's like so country, you know?
Well,
being away from everything. I hate to be the people living in the house by the train.
Right, right.
I'm not, so I don't care.
Right. All right.
Okay, I knew there was one more thing I wanted to tell you about, brain fart.
Mm.
That's what it was. Monday, when I was waiting for your show to come on, they had the last hour of Blackhawks Live.
Okay.
Okay. They read a text message they got, and I wonder who it was. Okay, the season's over. The Hawks aren't in the playoffs. Why do you need to be on?
Oh, jeez.
We can be listening to Landau and Raleigh now.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, my God.
Oh,
that almost sounds like something I would have sent them.
Oh, no. No. That's terrible.
No, that's not terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, it's one thing to be bumped by a game, and it's another thing to be losing a lot of them.
Well, that's the way it works. That's
I know. But I'd rather listen to you guys.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you, and I'll.
And a game that loses or wins.
Well, yeah. That they will do one or the other. That's for sure.
Right. Okay. Well, I will let you talk to the next person in line. Oh, I didn't miss Roy Ayers, did I?
Yes, I played hot last night.
Oh, I must have dozed off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember I called you back to tell you played the right.
That was Miss Sun, but I played Hot by Roy Ayers.
Oh, okay. Well, that's my bad, Sal.
But so you want Israel is, Kamika, whatever it is, on Over the Rainbow.
Yeah. Right.
Stay awake, because, I absolutely don't mind playing Hot by Roy Ayers, but if I'm going to have to play this Israel record, you better hear it.
When are you going to play it?
I'll play it tonight, I promise.
Okay, then I will stay up and listen for it.
Yeah, you better. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Love you guys.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, I don't know. I could play Roy Ayers again, too. You don't have to work real hard to get me to do that. But right now, you got to get me to intro the news. Yes, legitimate things that are happening in the world at large on WGN Radio.
Somewhere over bluebirds fly, and the dreams that you dream of, dreams really do come true. Ooh, someday you wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me, oh, somewhere over the rainbow.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and well, there it is. Yeah, you say it, I play it. And that was talking about a song, Unlikely. And I think it was right before that session they decided they would record it, and it was kind of originally a montage with What a Wonderful World. And yeah, it might have put Iz on the map worldwide, but already he and his family were very well known in Hawaii. And of course, he was something to behold. 757 pounds and 6'2", and sadly his weight contributed to his death at just 38 years old. So, 888-876-5593. Donald is in Midway. What's happening tonight, Donald?
Hello. Yeah, I just want to refresh your memory about who I am. I used to ask for the Star Trek and the Man from U.N.C.L.E. questions.
Yes. How are
Way
you?
Way back.
Yeah. How
I'm not too well.
What have you been doing?
I'm lately around my place. It's getting pretty, kind of sad because everybody's still afraid to come here. It's a senior residence. Mm. And so we used to have elections downstairs, right? Right downstairs. It was an election site.
Uh-huh.
And they stopped that because people are afraid to come in here.
Really?
Still. So, yeah.
Well, that's
unfortunate. So they had to move it to a gymnasium a few blocks away. You know, I serve as an election judge whenever I can, so.
Now,
I just did it for the Mayor Arl here.
So what on earth is so frightening about a senior citizen building?
Well, because we're the most contagious and dying, it's been publicized that 80% of the people that died of it were like in their 70s and up. So, they think, well, we're like hotbeds of it.
Oh, please, 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 please. That's unfortunate.
People still come in with the masks. In fact, there still are some seniors here that have the masks. Not only the masks, but head coverings.
Okay.
And gloves, and they're walking around like it's a hazmat area.
Can't be too careful,
I
guess.
There's a lot of paranoia still.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
On the other end of things, I've got an old friend I met 30 years ago, and she wanted to be a model. We met as extras on a movie set.
Oh, fun.
And we stayed in touch. She was at my 50th birthday party and, all kinds of things, over the years. And I'll be turning 70 in August.
Uh-huh.
And she's 53. So she was a young thing, and I was kind of semi-middle-aged at the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's touring the world now. And I asked her, how could she afford it? And she said, well, I've been in 3 major accidents in the last 2 years. And,
oh, no.
I got good insurance settlements.
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, you're 53, and now you're a little disabled. She said, you might need more surgeries. Well, why don't you invest? And she got all mad about it. She just wants to, live for today. And she still likes to go to discos and bars all over the world. Like, she was in one in Cambodia recently. And she said she might just live in a Cambodia, in one of those places, for a while because it's so cheap. And I'm wondering, what drives a person to that, that she should just give up on her own culture and her own place and, just be and high-risk living. Obviously, I told her, you must have, I'm not in 3 major accidents in 2 years. How is she living?
Well, I think she's living on her own terms, and you kind of got to respect it. It might not be the way you'd want to live. It wouldn't be the way I'd want to live, but it's the way she wants to live, and she's doing it. So, let's face it, none of us are going to be here forever. We're all going out of here. Nobody gets out of here alive. So she may be thinking that, hey, while I'm here, I'm just going to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, essentially, I've basically sold out to an easier lifestyle, you know, because I get free everything. Uh-huh. I don't have to pay for a single thing in my life except 20% of my rent,
okay.
Which is already half price in a senior residence.
Okay.
And 80% of that's paid for by a grant. And so I have to pay for almost nothing. In fact, I calculated I'll probably get about $200,000 in benefits in the next 5 years, at least. Unless inflation goes crazy, and it might be more like $300,000 worth of benefits. Because I'm going to have a lot of surgeries done. Mm. And, you know, I think that that's a profitable thing, you know, to be here and do that, but...
Well, that's your choice.
Point,
you know, again...
I couldn't do what she's doing, yeah, because I would give up my apartment if I were to travel for months on end.
But she couldn't do what you're doing because she would say, oh, my God, I'll be chained to an apartment. I won't get to go to the places I want to go to. So everybody's, you know, we're all living in the mall of life. And we can buy anything we want as long as we're willing to pay the price. And usually it's not financial. The price of her lifestyle is the insecurity that you're discussing. It's the fact that she may have a huge problem in a place where it can't be well treated. It's the fact that she doesn't know what tomorrow brings. Well, that's the price. If she's willing to pay it, knock yourself out. I think the only people who are unhappy are the Mall of Life shoplifters. They want the item, but they don't want to pay the price. In your case, you want security. You want stability. So the price you're paying for security and stability is a life that is somewhat predictable, is probably not loaded with a lot of new and varied experiences. And that's okay if that's what you want to do. As long as you're willing to pay the price, go for it.
See, deep down, I always had a feeling for her, and we did date for periods of time and, you know, things like that. So I was hoping we could make some kind of a homogenous blend of these two lifestyles.
And, I don't think
so. I could participate in hers, and she could be more stabilized and more centered in some way.
No, I don't think she's interested in your lifestyle.
Yeah, in fact, possibly not, because there is a 17-year difference.
Yeah. Well, apart from the age difference, I think that she wants to avoid the predictable like the plague. Now, what she's searching for and what she's finding, that's a whole other question. But at this point in time, I don't think she would be happy settling down to anything. And I don't think you'd be happy with a mate who had a lot of unpredictability to her.
Yeah, that's an interesting point of view that you've given me, because I'm supposed to talk to my psychologist virtually tomorrow.
Good.
And so you've kind of you've been on an audition for it.
Ah, you know?
All right. In a way, because you give the approach without backing it up with a PhD, but still, you know, it's an interesting approach. And then I'm supposed to talk to my psychiatrist virtually. Nobody wants to see you in person anymore either.
No,
that's another thing. Nobody wants to actually come here, or they don't want to see me either.
Yeah.
That's kind of strange. And that's another one of the senior biases that I'm noticing.
Now, the fact that you have a psychologist and a psychiatrist, I assume the psychiatrist is treating you pharmacologically, giving you drugs.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And,
yes. I am taking three right now.
And why are you taking
them?
And why are you taking them?
I've been diagnosed as bipolar depression.
Okay.
And I was in prison for 2 years, and I suffered a lot of PTSD.
Right, sure.
It was 10 years ago, but you know, obviously,
you don't ever forget that.
You know, in my background too, my mother had schizophrenic experiences, and was also bipolar. And my father was an alcoholic who drank himself to death at 57. And, you know, just things like that. All of us in the family had panic attacks. My siblings were all, but we're productive. I mean, I had a productive lifestyle. I wasn't always on disability or anything.
Right.
I actually paid into the system. I actually was an actor for years. You know, I actually was in 60 stage plays and toured the country with one. You know, stuff like that. I sang in a fancy Presbyterian choir in downtown Chicago for 7 years. I mean, so I did some great things with my life. I worked with the Chicago Transit Authority in their marketing and research department for almost 14 years. So, you know, I was able to overcome some of these things, but I've been on, medical treatment now for psychiatric problems since 2000, actually.
Well, when you're talking about things like bipolar and schizophrenia, of course you need a psychiatrist because these are chemical imbalances and they do need to be right. medicated. So yeah, unfortunate, but true. Well, it sounds like in your own way, you are living life on your terms. So that's a happy thing.
Yeah, this has uplifted me talking to you like this, and I'll be your new contact in Midway when Eduardo's in Florida.
All right. I'll take that. Well, good luck talking to the psychologist tomorrow. And, but I would say, it sounds like your lady friend, the twain is not going to meet on this. You know, she doesn't.
No, unless there's some traumatic event in either of our lives.
Well,
I don't think currently, no.
Right, and let's hope that that's not what brings two people together. But she'll go off and do her thing, and hopefully be happy doing it. And you will enjoy your stability, and hopefully meet somebody who feels likewise.
Yeah, I just don't want to meet boring people. A lot of people in my building are kind of on the boring side because I have had a theatrical career and toured and had talents and, things like that. And a lot of people here, their talent is in their children. And that's nice, but I never married and I never had children, so I can't really have difficulty relating to that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know as far as that goes because, as you know, in the entertainment industry, it's not like you can easily find gatherings where you can say, well, we'll meet every Sunday or what have you. Also, a lot of individuals you worked with died young, frankly, which is fairly common. And
true.
I mean, there's no getting around that. And
the choir thing that I had, that ended with COVID, and it's just starting to get going again, so I might get back
involved. That would be good. If you have the opportunity to do that, by all means do that.
Yeah, because I need to be around people like me, and unfortunately, I don't think there's an old actor's home in Chicago.
Right, that's what I was, where they can have people write fan mail misspelling your names intentionally. Yes, no, I don't think that's there either, but it'd be interesting, though.
Of course, I got a lot of old 8x10s.
exactly. So, I don't know, but that's an interesting thing. Of course, if you were in California, Screen Actors Guild has a wonderful home. But I don't know if there is anything. I doubt it, but you never know. Have you kept in contact with anybody from your acting and singing days?
Yes, I did. But a lot of them died during COVID, actually. I had a large a group of them, and they're just like they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah, that's so unfortunate.
When you get to my age, I used to have a lot of older friends too. I'm going to be 70, so I meant they were 75 to 80 if they lived, and some of them, didn't make
it. Well, you don't sound old to me. That's for sure. I would say 70 is not at all old. You're just getting to the prime.
Well, I got this voice, I have the voice.
Yeah,
that helps to train your voice so it doesn't go become like an old man, so start to go like that, you don't want that to happen. So.
Well, although you can get away with so many things when people think you're old and decrepit.
Yeah, that's true. I have a role later, and I do take it to baseball games so I can get better seats.
Yeah.
I don't really need the role later all the time, but I do take it along.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, keep me posted. Can't wait to hear about the next event. You'll have one.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll get you posted.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, see what my friend is going through also.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks good.
Thanks a lot for talking again.
Likewise. So glad you called. Right. We'll get to Murfreesboro, Steve. We got Leah. We got Mark. We got you, I hope. 888-876-5593. I got the moon. I haven't forgotten about that. And we will absolutely before the night is over. Review and more on WGN Radio. There we go.
So fine, let me hug and kiss her all the time. Like to see her do the chicken pop, shakes all over from the bottom to the top. Boom 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 boom. I said boom 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 boom. Well, boom boom baby, please don't stop. Boom boom baby, I've made it clear. Till I die, I'll always want you near. Every evening when the lights are low, I watch my boom boom baby, you go boom 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 boom.
I said boom, 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 baby, I love you so.
Yeah!
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that's Crash Craddock, before he was calling himself Billy Crash Craddock. 1959, he was all of 20 years old, actually, born in 39 in Greensboro, so there you have it. It was on Columbia, and that's for Bob. I knew we'd find it there somewhere, just took a few minutes. Yeah, I was looking for Billy, I should have been looking for Crash. All right, so we got that together now. All right, so Leah is in Marcus Hook. What's up, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. I'm on a fast.
Really? Why?
Oh, I have to have blood work in the morning.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, hey, it could be worse. I thought you were going to tell me, well, it's still Ramadan. Yes, it is, but all right. So, Eid's coming up. Anyhow, blood work in the morning. Well, that's only 12 hours or so you're going to fast.
Yeah, well, no. No, just till 7. We're going in at 7.
All right. And you haven't been fasting since 7 tonight?
No, since midnight.
Oh, please. You have no problems here. You can do this.
I don't know. I have really low blood sugar. I almost passed out yesterday.
Oh, geez.
I hadn't eaten. For the past 2 days, my diverticulitis has been acting up.
Ooh.
So I had been skipping some meals, and last night my legs were like spaghetti. I couldn't even walk.
Not
from low
good.
Blood sugar.
Well, so, but 7 a.m. will come sooner than you know. So the bloodletting, what are they trying to find out?
Well, because I'm going to this doctor to get the Ozambic, and he wants to do a blood workup to make sure I can get him.
Okay. I have a girlfriend who takes that, and she does very well with it.
Oh, okay, good. Good.
So, yeah, semaglutide, I think, is the generic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
he's the same doctor I used to go get the Fen-Phen from, but obviously not allowed to give that out anymore.
Well, and of course, while there is a side effect of weight loss, that's not the purpose of the drug.
They're using it off-label.
Yes, but remember, the purpose of the drug is diabetic control. And
right.
So there, that goes to the heart of blood sugar. So when you're telling me you have low blood sugar, hopefully...
I might not be able to get it.
Well, it may not be... Not that you are able to get it or not, it may not be something that you'll want to be taking.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They may not give it to me if my blood sugar's too low.
Well, on the other hand, when we're talking about glycemic control, it would be good if it regulates it to the point, regardless of low or high, but I certainly don't know that. All I know is that it's off-label when you're not using it diabetes-related.
Yeah, I know that. I do know that, so... We went to see a good movie tonight, though.
Well, hang on a minute. I want to hear all about it. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
John says, shut up. All right. Well, I didn't pay close attention to what Adam said, but it might have been, shut up. So I will, and we'll have another hour of this coming up on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
GN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Ruby Johnson, who would have turned 87 today. Born in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, but raised in Washington, D.C. And while she was there, she did some stuff, including this record on Nebs, yeah, an absolutely unknown label, otherwise outside of the District of Columbia. But in 1965, Don't Start Nothing was the flip of Let Me Apologize, and Ruby Johnson got some airplay. Well, Al Bell at WLOK in Memphis heard her, and when he went over to Stax, he got her a contract. And Isaac Hayes and David Porter cut a number of things on her on the Volt label and some interesting stuff. She did that for a little while. 1974, she said, that's it, went and got government work, and was director of foster grandparents and back in the D.C. area. And sadly died quite a while ago, July 4th, 1999, 63 years old. But would have been 87 today. And it was interesting because due to her great-great-grandparents, she grew up in the Jewish faith. And to her death, she was still worshiping and singing at Temple Beth El in Maryland. All right, Ruby Johnson. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, we're talking to Leah in Marcus Hook, and she said, I saw a movie. All right, tell me about the movie. Leah.
Yep, and offered to take me to a movie, and it was Albert's day off, so I said, well, let's bring him too. And we got there. It was taken from a Judy Blume book. It was It's Me, Margaret. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Oh.
And yeah, and it was really a girl's movie, but Albert enjoyed it too.
Well,
it was really funny. It takes place in 1970, and it's about these young 12-year-old girls growing up in New Jersey in the suburbs. It's really funny. It was really funny. I highly recommend it.
Now, what's so funny to me about this is the title of It's Me, Margaret. Because I'm laughing all over the place because of this. You probably don't remember this, but there's a Ray Stevens song called It's Me Again, Margaret. He's not talking to God.
No, it's called Are You There, God? Yeah. It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Well, Ray was not talking to God. That's for sure. I'll have to play that for you. That's that's hilarious. It's me. All right. So good deal.
It was mostly about them waiting to get their periods. It was kind of funny. It was funny.
Wow. All right. So you enjoy the movie?
Yes, we all enjoyed the movie. It was really funny, and there were some Kathy Bates was in it. It was funny.
Oh, good. I like her. Yes.
Yeah, she lost a lot of weight. She looked good.
Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah, she looked good.
Good.
And the Rachel McAdams was in it. She's in a lot of those movies, like The Notebook and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was good. It was cute.
Well, good.
And let's see, I've been following the Lori Vallow trial.
Now, what's going on?
Well, the cameras aren't allowed in the courtroom, but they have, Court TV has someone in the courtroom, and what they're doing is, as the people get up and testify, they're showing their grand jury testimony.
Oh, they can do that?
Yeah. Like the grand, like they already testified in the grand jury.
Yes.
And I guess they have it on tape from when they have it on videotape from when they testified in the grand jury, and they're showing that. Or deposition.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know they'd be allowed to. That's very interesting. And of course, for people who don't know about,
they're not allowed to have cameras in the courtroom, so
right,
they're showing that instead.
Right.
Coordinating with whenever they're on the stand. You can get an idea of what they're like on the stand, you know.
Interesting. And for people who don't know about Lori Vallow Daybell, she's charged a couple counts of first-degree murder and three counts of conspiracy. And
of her children.
That's right. And, of course, she's pled guilty to all charges. It was a Netflix documentary last year, I think. But now, a couple of her kids from previous marriages were involved somehow. Did anybody like that testify?
Well, her son, her only child left, I think, is her son, her oldest son. I think he's in his, 30s or something, 20s or 30s. Mm-hmm. And he is, he got up on the stand, I believe it was yesterday, and, he testified for the prosecution. and he told everything that she did with the casting out of spirits and everything. And they're calling it the Doomsday Cult murder trial because the guy she married, Daybill, I don't know his first name.
Right.
Is it George Chad, or Floyd Chad, or something
Chad.
Like that?
It's,
Daybill?
It's Chad. Chad
Daybell.
Yes, Chad Daybell. And the prosecutor
started this Doomsday Cult.
Right, that he I guess was supposedly the mastermind, and he and she killed the children and their spouses as part of the Doomsday belief.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And this is
well, she's on trial. Well, they're both what they did was they separated their
Of course.
Cases.
Of course.
So they're not going to be on trial together.
Right.
But they're on trial for the same crimes. They're on trial for her little boy, her little girl.
Well, Tylee.
And his wife.
Right, right. She's the biological mother of Tylee, and he's the biological father of Joshua. So Tylee's 16 and Joshua was 7, and those were the remains they found.
And these children suffered in death, let me tell you. They suffered.
Oh, God.
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just horrible. And it's interesting because Tylee, who was a 16-year-old girl, her mother obviously was Lori Vallow, but her father was Lori's third husband, who had died of a heart attack, and that was in 2018.
He died of a heart attack.
Yeah, Joshua did, the third husband, died of a heart attack while he was in a custody battle with Vallow over Tylee. And
right.
So,
and also her brother was killed too.
Well, Joshua, her half brother.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, Lori's brother was killed too.
In this case?
Yes. It had something to do with this case, but she's not charged with it for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole web of. It's just
insanity.
Unbelievable, the story.
Yeah, web of insanity. Because
a web of intrigue and lies and insanity, like you said, yeah.
Yeah, and he had visions and he claimed being attacked by zombies and,
Well, they explained that her former best friend got up and told how they believed that, well, he made her believe this, that people could be inhabited by the spirits of zombies, and you had to do this thing called casting out.
Yeah.
And it was like this prayer or something you would say over them to cast them out. And if that didn't work, you had to destroy their bodies. That's the only way to get the zombies out. And the overkill of the children was why they were trying to destroy the zombies, because they couldn't get them out any other way. The little boy, I think, was shot and stabbed and suffocated.
Oh, God. Well,
yeah. I mean, the children did not have an easy death. They suffered.
Her previous husband, Vallow, Charles Vallow, had gone to authorities and said, hey, we got a problem with her. She believes she's God. She believes someone had... She's been taking over her ex-husband's body, and, basically the cops said, forget it, even though he said, I'm afraid she's going to hurt our children. And so the cops just said, well, it's not a criminal case. We can't do a mental health check. And so Lori then went to the police department saying, well, I caught my husband cheating. And I told him not to come home, so that's why he told you these stories. So, meanwhile, the cops just figured, oh, well, just another domestic. And the reality is that her husband caught her cheating with Chad Daybell, then he was shot, obviously. And he was the one who went to Tammy, the former wife of Chad. I mean, this requires really some Venn diagrams, and certainly the National Enquirer. And
It does. You do need diagrams.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And so one of Lori's brothers, Alex Cox, apparently killed her former husband, Charles Vallow, and claimed it was self-defense. And so... Now a grand jury wound up charging her with conspiracy to commit murder 2 years after he died. So
I think it was the brother that killed him.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't it? It was her brother.
Yes, Alex Cox. It was the brother.
Right. Yeah, the brother.
And claimed it was a self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And that's why the brother's dead now, too, so he can't testify.
Right. Right. Wow. Wow. But apparently what has come out that I heard is that a lot of people tried to go to authorities to say, hey, they're Nazi cuckoo, and nobody.
Oh, a lot of people, but they didn't do anything until the grandparents. If you remember, right. JJ's grandparents were the ones that got the police really going on this. If you remember when the whole thing first came out, they were the ones on the news, his biological grandparents.
Right, right, but they were the kids were already dead by then.
Yeah, but they didn't know that.
They didn't know that. They were the ones that got the police into action. Right, to look at it. But I'm saying long before the kids were dead, there were a lot of people trying to reach out to authorities and nobody would talk to them.
But they wouldn't talk to them, right? But those grandparents were the ones that got the police on the ball, you know, off their butts to do something.
Right, a little too late.
A little too late, but...
Yeah. Well, interesting. So how long is the trial supposed to be?
I don't know. They're not saying. They think she's going to testify.
Really?
Because she's just like, you know, over there making faces and noises and chatting with her attorney and writing notes and stuff. And, you know, like they can tell when a question comes from directly from her to her lawyer, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, she's got a lot of input. We think she's going to testify because she definitely wants to have her say. So that'll be fascinating.
I guess, to say the least. All right.
So, I'm hoping it's going to be this week sometime, either tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah. Well,
it's in Idaho, so it doesn't start until like noon here, so that's good.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's Mountain Daylight Time. Yes. And because it's that part of Idaho. Yes. It's in Ada County, Boise. Yes. All right. Well, a good report on that. Keep us posted on the Lori Vallow story.
I will keep you posted because it's just ever since I've known about this story, it's just been it's just been hard for me to listen to, and I just want her and him to get what they deserve because I don't even know what they deserve, but it's just a horrendous story. Those two little kids, I'm just very, very upset about the whole thing.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is just so out there that, again, it's just a shame that nobody could have intervened in a way that mattered prior to this.
I know. And there they were in Hawaii, you know, soaking up the sun. And I remember the reporter going up to them in Hawaii, asking them where her children was. Right. And they were just, like, smiling at the camera. And, I just will never understand some people. Oh, and the other thing is, Albert's daughter sent us a letter inviting us to get this a meeting at Kingdom Hall. She has joined the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh,
which is a cult, right?
Well, no, I won't cast aspersions on anybody's religion, but I will say they're very active in recruiting members, and God forbid you live next door to them and they come by. But Kingdom Hall, all right. Well, are you going?
No.
Oh.
No. Uh-uh. They, no.
Okay.
They think the Smurfs are evil.
Well, yeah, I guess you can say that, but it's not as simple as that. But it is somewhat interesting when somebody decides they're going to do that. So is Albert in touch with her other than this?
Yeah, well, no. She hasn't been in touch lately. She won't give us her address. She wouldn't come over and pick up her Christmas presents. Well, now I know why. They don't celebrate Christmas.
Well, there you go.
I've been doing my research on them.
Uh-huh.
I was, and it's really funny because I was looking into this cult deprogrammer online just to see, not really seriously, but just to see. And his name is Stephen Hassan. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's a famous cult deprogrammer. And he has a book called The Cult of Trump. Like, he thinks He thinks being a believer in Trump is being in a cult.
Well, you know, I mean, the word cult gets overused in a lot of ways. You know,
I thought that was funny.
For instance, with regard to Jehovah's Witnesses, well, one of the definitions normally classically of a cult is that you are encouraged
no
to,
free will.
That's right. And the Jehovah's Witnesses really don't do that. Well, you'd have to really look at all of it. You may not agree with any of their beliefs, but they're not rounding people up and basically brainwashing them to believe as they believe.
But they don't believe in modern-day medicine.
Well, they don't believe in a lot of things, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, by definition, make them a cult.
Well, they don't let you get modern-day medicine.
Well, no, again, that's the choice. You know, if a member is not, you know, I'll just say brainwashed that way, they're willingly going along with this. I don't know. It's a very gray area, but
so you're saying it's not as bad as like Scientology or something,
well,
but it's not.
We're getting into horrible territory here on the air that I just don't want to go there. But I would say that, you know, I don't like to throw that cult word around. Now, when you talk about some religions, and we won't name any, that actually do use tactics of intimidation and, frankly, blackmail, now you've got another thing going on. And I don't think you can claim that Jehovah's Witnesses are doing that. So, you know, but anyhow, I wish her the best, but I can see why you're saying, no, I think we'll sit this one out.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
We weren't going to go there. That was on April 1st, and we're just not going. But we're going to have her out to dinner maybe next month.
Hopefully.
And try and feel her out and see what the whole deal is.
Well, and
hopefully
right.
She's
right. And respect her beliefs. I mean, she's entitled to them, and unless it's...
Down to earth.
Unless it's a situation where she's proselytizing to the point that she only wants you to believe her beliefs, well, then you got a problem. But other than that, if she's entitled to whatever she wants...
I mean, she hasn't shaved her head, and she's not dancing around in airports, you know, so...
They're not known for that. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, always good to hear from you. It's a wonderful soap opera. Keep me posted.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
All right, thanks, appreciate it. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Mark. Reel-to-reel recorders. Yeah, that's something I can actually talk about. And Will, too. And we got Stacy, and we got James, and like I say, Murfreesboro Steve with an update. And hopefully room for you, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. There's early Delphonics, on Cameo, 1967. You've Been Untrue. Tommy Bell wrote that along with William Hart of the Delphonics. and a fine record. And I know Stacy had said anything by the Delphonics, so yeah, always dangerous when you give me that choice, because the first thing I thought of is, oh yeah, you've been untrue. Absolutely didn't chart. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Jane is a first-time caller in Milwaukee. How's it going, Jane?
Oh, I'm doing. I'm in agony. I'm in pain. I do clean at a casino, and we do a lot of walking. Son, I got severe arthritis and flat feet, and my body is just in pain.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I've had these pain problems since I was 7. When I was a young kid, I would lay down and it would go away, but as I got older, it got worse.
and a cleaning job, that's very physical.
Oh, it's very physical. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And cleaning in the casino, oh, God.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Walk. Yeah. And I got flat feet, so the bottom of my feet are, like, lumped up, and they hurt so bad.
I'm so sorry.
Glad I'm surviving.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you should be able to get disability.
No, I'm not. I got 2 years, 8.5 months to work, okay, and then I'm retiring.
All right.
And I hope I make it, and then I don't think I'll be able to work after that because my body is just...
Yeah, rebelling. It's going on strike. Yeah.
It's racked with pain.
Oh, so sorry.
And I'll tell you what helps is to keep rubbing my feet and that, and I take Tylenol, and I don't recommend those pain pills to nobody because they give you nightmares about the devil and that, and who needs that?
Yeah, you know? Boy, I guess.
Yeah, well, they don't recommend those pills either, and they are bad for any... Yes, they work, and then all of a sudden you get those nightmares, and then you got to say, that's it, I don't need this.
Yeah, boy, I agree.
Yes, Tylenol is better,
you know,
I'm telling you, really. And I just rub like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my last cat was my sweetheart. Her name was Sheba. Oh, she was a honey. She was a black cat with black whiskers. I called her my psychic cat because she talked like Arnold the Pig, I called her, with her tail. When it went up and wiggled, it meant yes. Go down meant no, because they can't talk, you know.
Yeah.
And then she was almost like a mute because she almost never meowed. Mm. She was such a good cat. Everybody loved her.
Mm.
She was a sweetheart. She only didn't like other animals, and like a lot of them. I said, I wish we could all just get along.
Yes.
My motto is united we stand, we divided we fall. Mm. I just want everybody to get along and love each other.
Yeah.
You know, just like Ellie Mae from the Beverly Hillbillies. Did you know she actually ran an animal sanctuary for real? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So those animals she had on that show, she must have, how did she know how to react with those without, because they were wild animals.
Well, sure they were. Sure they were. But
yeah, that was unreal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, man, and raccoons, you want to stay away from those, even though they look pretty.
Oh, I know. Yes, they're certainly very curious animals, that's for sure, but they are just adorable.
Yeah, they give out a horrible sound that was scary and it makes you want to stay away, you know? But I love the squirrels. Like where I live in this apartment building, they come down from this tree here, and I just love feeding them the peanuts. They look so cute.
Yeah, well, no, they're great. Just don't have them in the house.
No, otherwise I love animals.
Yeah,
she was out of all the cats I had, she was the best one. She was my honey buns, and I had nicknames for Boopies, Beepies, and Doctor of Love, and my Aphrodite. I said, I had one cat years ago when I learned a bad lesson. You should never just open the door and let your cats out. That's a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to roll around in the dirt by this coffee tree that we had when my parents had a house. And his nickname was Dirt Balls.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound funny, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, and then the another name was called Bunkin' Noodles, I made up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My first cat was, that was Boots. Boots was good, yeah. He didn't have a nickname, though, but he was a good cat, yeah. I loved all my animals. I'm just an animal lover. I see them with these people come in the casino where I work and clean, and, I just want to love them all.
That's great.
Yeah, I just can't help myself. It's like I want them all like Ellie Mae.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice, hey?
Yeah, Donna Douglas, she was very big on animals, yes.
Oh, she was a sweetie. And Elvis Presley wanted to marry her. Was he nuts? That would not have worked.
Well, yeah, I think, of course, he was nuts. That was a part of his charm.
Yeah, I read a book on him, and you know, his music was good, but, you know, that was about it, you know. And I had a lot of favorite movie stars. One of them was Tony Curtis. Nice. And my favorite movies that he was in, I had two of them. One was called Terrace Bova. It reminded me of one of my boyfriends I had years ago, mm-hmm. where he fell in love with that Polish princess, and he was a Russian Cossack. And I always picked guys that were different than me, and my parents hated that.
Well, of course they did, and that's one of the reasons you liked them.
Oh, but I just couldn't resist them.
Yeah, of course.
Because they were so wild. There was one guy in school, his name was Mark Reckless, believe it or not, and he used to dress in these skin-tight clothes, and all the girls were surrounding him, and the I picked what I called the hot nuts.
All right.
Yeah. Isn't that something? There was one called Leland Roth I liked way back, and the band director, he said something to him. I can't remember what it was because I'm 67, so I can't remember everything.
Well, of course.
You know? Yeah, but I called up some radio station. I can't remember what I said about him because it was a song that was to be dedicated to him, and then the band director... Leland Roth was, I think he was sitting before that we went on stage to play, because I played flute in the band and he played tuba, and he made some kind of remark about him with the girls, and I was at, ah, ha, ha, ha,
yeah.
You know, that was funny. There was a kid I liked in school. His name was Lyle Sterhoda, and believe it or not, he looked exactly like Davy Jones when he was young. And this kid that was in school that used to live in my building here in Milwaukee said, everybody knew you liked him. And I'm like, how did they know? His girlfriend's name was Elaine Johnson, but Lyle looks the spitting image of Davy Jones when he was young. That's why I liked him.
Yeah,
you would think, wow. And then was the first kid I liked in school. It was only two kids I liked with, you know, crazy names. Him and the first kid I liked named Randy Schlinky. How about that name?
Randy Schlinky. Whatever happened to Randy Schlinky?
I don't know. I every guy I picked actually was stayed single, had no kids except for I think two of them got married and had kids, and one of them, believe it or not, he started his own business because there was this guy in a casino with this t-shirt on that said hair, whatever company where they fix drains and stuff, you know. I forgot what they call it, septic, sewage, and whatever company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was him, and he said, no, but I worked for Ronald Hare, his name was, you know. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so let's talk about Randy. Now, would Randy Schlinky have been born in 1956?
Probably 1955 or 56.
Yeah.
I was born in 55.
Well, Randy died. He died on May 18th, 2018, 62 years old.
He did?
Yeah, in Brookfield.
And, oh, my.
Yes, he did. 62, following a long battle with Alzheimer's.
Oh, so, that's sad.
He was married to Linda, who was Linda Rakowski before.
And, I don't know that name.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I assume this is our Randy, because Randall P. Schlinke, 1956 to 2018, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Well, Randy's no longer with us.
Oh, that's sad. There was a kid I liked, another one that lived across the street. My mom broke us up. His name was Dino Mariachi, and he never married or had kids either, that one. His girl was Tina Brummer. Dad had hair down her knees like a Crystal Gale. Mm. She looked something like her. Remember that one? Yeah. So I don't know what happened. Dina was a painter, not the wall painter, the kind that painted pictures.
How do you spell mariachi?
It's Maniachi. Oh. M-A-N-I-A-C-I. His name was Dino August Maniachi.
Okay, let's see what
we're born August 6, 1960.
All right. Was he a chef? Let's see.
I don't know. I don't know if he what he did. Oh, that was Leland Roth. He was a chef.
Yeah. Well, we have Dino Maniachi. I've got some.
I don't know what he's doing. I saw his brother.
Well, we have Dino Maniachi, who was the owner of Woof's, which is a gay bar in Madison.
What?
So we don't know if it's the same one, but it is one. So let's.
Wow, I had a brother named Tony that came to my brother Jack's funeral when my brother Jack died, and I called up. I thought it was his dad, Nunzio. He said that was his cousin that got mad at me. I thought it was his dad. Just telling him to come to the funeral, Tony, because Tony was friends with Jack. Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. Then he had a sister named Mary Lynn, and the mom died from breast cancer years ago. Yeah. The Gloria.
Yeah. Dino A. Maniachi.
Yeah, Dino August Maniachi.
Yeah, he's 62 years old, born August 6th, 1960. That sounds a little young.
Yeah, he was 5 years younger than me.
Oh, he was? Okay, then we found him. I've got his phone number. I won't say it on the air.
Well, you don't have to. I don't communicate with him. I live alone right now because the guys I picked were all a bunch of hot nuts,
well,
I call them.
Well, he lives in Madison. His address is on Midvale Boulevard, so he's still alive and kicking, that's for sure. So that's,
I'll be darned.
That's good news.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
The last boyfriend I picked, I was just kind of dumb with guys, you know. I picked the wrong ones.
Yeah.
And the last one, I thought, well, he must be good, I thought. He can work, I thought. I was just not good at that.
You're not Dino's type. His partner is Jason Hoke. So,
I'll be darned because he was with Tina Brummer. That was his girl.
Well.
And then after she got married, she had the nerve to go visit him on his birthday. And boy, was I mad.
Well, I don't know, but
he
and Jason have quite the house in Madison. So there you go. Now you know about a couple of them. All right. Well, I hope you're going to call me again soon.
Yeah. Can you play that song called Closer Now Than Yesterday by Renaissance?
Renaissance.
I don't know if you ever heard of the group. The lead singer was Annie Haslam. Yeah. They were from England. Did you ever hear that group?
I don't
Maybe
know.
Not.
Maybe not, but I'm going to look for it. I'll play it for you tomorrow. If I can't find it now, I'll look for it now, but show's about over. But if I can't find it now, I'll play it for you tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, and David Bowie was great. I got the disc from my favorite song from him called Heroes.
Okay.
It reminded me of my last boyfriend that lived with me. I won't say what happened to him.
Mm.
He's no longer here either. He was not good to me. I just picked the wrong guys. Doris Day did get it.
Oh, yeah, boy, did she ever.
Those were the kind of guys I picked, some of them. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, well, she certainly had a chance to pick a lot of
them. They were what you call charmers. Yeah. And the last one I lived with, and that was what he did to me, like Doris Day, got it.
Mm.
And that was a bad habit. And
well,
I'm just friends with Guy. He can have his place, I'll have mine, and it keeps the peace. Got it?
Yeah, all right. So closer
than yesterday.
It's
the only way to go.
All right, I think I found your closer than yesterday, so keep listening.
It's called Closer Now Than Yesterday.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, good deal. Well, Okay. Thanks, Jane. We'll talk to you later.
My older brother used to be a disc jockey at one time. His name was Ben Jarman.
Uh-huh.
Does that name sound familiar at all?
I don't think so, but we'll talk about him next time you call.
Yeah, he was a disc jockey in Iowa and a disc jockey in Oshkosh for a while.
All right.
Yeah, and he teaches communications, and he's retired right now.
Okay.
So he's a good brother. Yeah.
All right.
He lives in Minnesota. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
So, nice talking.
Likewise.
To you. I got a friend in the building. That's good.
Well, keep listening. Unless the show is over, I'll play your Renaissance record. And if the show is over, I'll play it tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Good.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I'm better off just being friends with a guy and nothing more.
All right.
It keeps the peace for me. Get it?
Yes.
You know?
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
So,
okay.
Yeah, the waning moments here on WGN Radio. Well, and that's it. We ran out of time. Talk to you tomorrow night at 10.